You're listening to KCPW. President Barack Obama gave his last State of the Union speech this week. So what was the reaction to his remarks, and what did Utah's members of Congress have to say about it? Earlier this morning, I posed that question to Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent with the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics.
So yeah, this was the president's last one, and he really seemed to have kind of two things. Although the White House stressed it wasn't about legacy necessarily, there was some of that built into what the president was saying. But he really was trying to somewhat be optimistic about the future, in contrast to maybe some of the rhetoric we're hearing from the Republican presidential candidates. The president tried to talk about what we as America have achieved in his time in office, and what the country could achieve and can achieve when it looks to, you know, its strengths as America and what it does. Utah members of Congress, you know, they like the, you know, optimistic approach, but mainly didn't like how the president on occasion would kind of rib Republicans and you know, used a few lines in his speech, for example, something about how when Russia put Sputnik into space, we didn't ignore it and pretend it didn't happen. It's kind of a, you know, climate change denier joke that the president was making in the middle of his speech. Right. Representative Jason Chaffetz said that, you know, he was very happy that this was the president's last address to the nation, last State of the Union. And other members of the delegation said that, you know, the president wasn't very enthusiastic, didn't really offer any goals for the coming year.
And I guess we can kind of expect that from anybody who's, you know, vying for their party to take over the White House.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think the president had even finished speaking by the time the criticism from Republicans had started out.
So Senator Orrin Hatch played an interesting role on Tuesday night during all of this. What was he doing?
Yeah, this was interesting. I learned a lot about this week that I didn't know. So as your listeners probably recall, during the State of the Union, there's usually one cabinet member, one member of the president's cabinet, who is asked to stay away from the Capitol and the area. And that person is called a designated survivor, because pretty much as you think about it, in the House chamber this week, you have, you know, several members of the Supreme Court. You have the president, the vice president, the Speaker of the House, senators and House representatives. So really, should an unthinkable incident happen that the Capitol gets wiped out, there needs to be somebody who can continue on leading the government. And they also have, which I learned this week as well, members of Congress who stay away. So in this case, Senator Orrin Hatch was asked to be a designated survivor. So that he was asked to stay somewhere else. I'm going to guess he was probably just home, not in some crazy, you know, nuclear site or something like that. But he did have, and this is kind of interesting, the nuclear football, which is the case with the ability to fire the nuclear weapons. So he had a military aide standing near him with the nuclear football. Should something have happened, Orrin Hatch, who was third in line for the presidency, right, would have become the you know, acting president and could have done nuclear strike in response.
Wow. Was he the only one designated for this from Congress?
No, in fact, they usually do four. So you usually have like a senior Republican, a senior Democrat in the House and in the Senate. So usually there's four of them. So in this case, because Hatch is, you know, in line, the Senate president pro tem in line for the presidency, he was the top person outside of the Capitol.
Wow. Well, a heavy responsibility there. Finally today, Thomas, the House passed a bill sponsored by Representative Jason Chaffetz dealing with ex-U.S. presidents. What does this bill do, and who does it target?
So this is interesting as well. Right now, ex-presidents from, you know, Jimmy Carter to H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, get an annual salary of $200,000. In addition, they also get a thing called an allowance. So they get another $200,000 that allows them to set up an office, have an, you know, an aide for scheduling, those kind of things to respond to requests for comment or dealing with any, you know, kind of governmental business that they're asked to do after they're president. And this came up because, as you might have seen, most former presidents are really doing fine. Bill Clinton, for example, you know, is a multimillionaire because of his books and his speaking role. And so Chaffetz's bill would reduce dollar for dollar the income that they get from the government, the allowance they get for anything they make over $400,000 in personal income. So it's not necessarily targeting anyone, though a lot of people raise the issue that this is the Bill Clinton bill. But it would affect all living presidents, would affect President Barack Obama when he's out of office. It was set up, when Harry Truman left office and was actually kind of broke. We didn't want former presidents being living in poverty, but you don't see anyone in the modern times that's going to have that problem.
All right, so it reduces it for every amount that they make over $400,000. So as long as if they don't make $400,000, that $200,000 salary from us, the taxpayers, would still be paid.
Yeah, they're still going to get the $200,000 annual salary no matter what. But this bill takes that extra $200,000 office allowance and would cut it. And most former presidents are doing just fine, so they probably wouldn't even see any money for that allowance.
Right. And Jason Chaffetz, I guess, is this as much a message bill as anything else? I guess he's trying to address a real problem that he sees.
I think he actually is trying to address a real problem. It is a real issue. I talked to a presidential historian, it's kind of like, yep, this is a good idea. It makes a lot of sense.
Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent with the Salt Lake Tribune. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll look forward to hearing you a little bit later on this morning on Behind the Headlines.
Sounds great. Thanks, Roger.
Thomas Burr is Washington correspondent with Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes. He joins us Fridays for this conversation, and you can find a link to Political Cornflakes at our website, kcpw.org.